Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. We are currently answering the questions from our listener in our third annual question and answer series. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with his answer. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
So now we're going to turn it over to Brother Jerry, and we're going to let him bring up the next question.
Dear Dr. Bloom, I just read your article in the Sword of the Lord on the subject of homosexuality. I am confused. You use the scriptures to show it is wrong, but your church accepts gay members? To quote you, if a Baptist church wants to accept gay members, which my church does, shame on you and your church. You're responsible for your flock. I will pray for you and your church. As preachers and pastors, we are to turn people from their sin, not encourage it.
All right. Well, this is a kind of a little bit of a levity, I guess, for me with this question. This man, who is a pastor, made an accusation that was due to his lack of really reading something as he should have. But it says, my answer to him is, I have been at the National Sword of the Lord Conference in North Carolina. By the way, let me interrupt this. The National Sword of the Lord Conference is somewhere around the last week of July every year in North Carolina, near the Winston-Salem area, Walkertown. And I would encourage you to go to their website or get in touch with them some way and get their newspaper coming in. But go, especially if you can, go to that conference each year. And by the way, if your pastor has never been, get together church members and offer to send them up there, to put them up in a motel and have them taken care of the whole week up there. Boy, I tell you what, it'll be a great encouragement to your pastor. Now, coming back to this, I told this listener, I've been at the National Sword of the Lord Conference in North Carolina. As I read your email, I think you made an unintentional mistake. I hope you get this before your Sunday sermon in order to prevent you from misleading the people. Now, if you read the portion to which you read in the National Sword of the Lord newspaper, the July 20th edition for 2012, and you were reading my sermon, the portion that you refer to is on page 11 of that issue. And you will see in the very paragraph that of which you're speaking, it starts out with former President Jimmy Carter. And you will then see in the same paragraph the quotation marks that show I'm quoting Mr. Carter. It was Mr. Carter who said his church accepts gay members. You'll see the quotation marks at the end of the paragraph. Although you misunderstood, I'm glad you were upset by what you thought I had said and written. I would be also. Perhaps checking the article a little more closely in the future will be a help to you. And I appreciate the fact that we are responsible for our flock. If you go to my website at www.sermonaudio.com/Central Baptist, or www.centralbaptistocala.org, you will find sermons I have preached, and you would know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I would never endorse or encourage homosexual behavior, nor accept them as members into the church. You are absolutely right. We should never encourage sin. And so I do covet your prayers in our behalf. And hopefully this straightens up a misunderstanding for you. And so here's the thing that sometimes we preachers get something in our crawl and we haven't seen the whole thing, and we've got to be careful that we don't jump the gun until we know everything that is involved. So now we're going to turn it over to Brother Jerry, and we're going to let him bring up the next question.
I am confused by the phrase, save so as by fire. Thinking the term meant to choose to get saved because you don't want to go to hell and nothing more than that. I Googled the phrase and it said, if you get saved, then you behave badly and do not repent and ask forgiveness, you will go to hell. Also, if you get saved and don't build your house, the only way you will come to know the saving grace of God will be through some sort of fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Can you elaborate on the attached article to give me clarity on this subject?
Okay, this question here from this listener. Oh, I tell you, this is a long thing, and this is going to be a very long answer here, probably the longest answer in this particular series this year. So I hope that you'll have pencil and paper and realize it's probably going to take more than just one day in the answer to this question. And so this lady has emailed me the article that was referring to the subject of saved so as by fire. And of course, the people that wrote the article do not believe in eternal security. So this is what this thing revolves around. And so I started out my article saying, I looked up your article in your email, and I will answer it by putting what it says in regular type and what I say in bold type. And so what I just basically did was I would stop at a place in the article and put in bold type my answer to that part of the article, then just take up the article from that point. So their article starts out this way. One of the primary arguments for the eternal security teachers used to support the widespread belief that a saved person can be wicked, ungodly, vile, unfruitful, negligent, and the like without losing salvation is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. That is, they're saved so as by fire argument. Now let me just interject. I didn't put this in the answer to this listener, but I rarely use that portion in talking about eternal security. I use many other portions of the Bible. But then this is their accusation. This is what they're saying. And so I would answer, and I did insert this answer. This is not by saying he must believe in eternal security. This passage, it has nothing to do with eternal security. I could reply to his answer, he must believe in eternal insecurity. Well, then that would cause him a problem, probably. Unfortunately, there are many who believe in eternal security who also teach easy believism. That is, just believe the fact and say a prayer. There's not repentance involved. That person cannot be eternally secure until he is first secured in Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23 is very good here. It says, enter in ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Now, please understand, easy believism is a broad way. This tells us that no one can enter salvation with the thought, I'm not repenting for anyone. I'll say the prayer, but I'm still going to go out and get drunk, or I'm still going to go out and do this, or I'm still going to go out and do that. You can't have that attitude. That's not a repentant heart. And then verse 14 of Matthew 7 goes on to say, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now verses 15 through 27 will make up the next paragraph. But notice how they are told to beware of false prophets, meaning those who teach a false way of salvation. Then after the warning of verses 15 through 20, telling a tree by its fruit, if it is holy fruit, it is a holy tree. You know, that's how you tell a tree. You know, a lot of people today say you shouldn't judge anybody. And they use the first couple of verses in this chapter, judge not, lest you be judged. You know, with the judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Let's look at a person's heart. You can't see a person's heart. But the same chapter, he says, you can tell a tree by its fruit. So we are to judge the fruit of the tree. And that tells us what it is. Even God tells us that man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart. And so God ordained for him to look at the heart, and he's ordained for us to look at the outward appearance. So we read those verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Now, if you're going to know them by their fruits, that means you've got to judge their fruits, does it not? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, that's very clear. Doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. It tells us we can tell a tree by its fruit. And then we go into verses 21 through 23. And again, understand, this is Jesus Christ who is speaking. And in verse 21, we need to ask ourselves when we read it, what is the will of the Father? And we'll see that in 2 Peter 3:9, that all come to repentance. And one also sees that in the words of Jesus in Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. Where Jesus said, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. So verse 21 here of Matthew 7 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Again, that will was repent. Well, in verse 22, people are offering why God should accept them into heaven. Their works of preaching and casting out devils, many wonderful works. And what's interesting is the Lord doesn't dispute that they did that. He doesn't say, well, no, that didn't happen. See, the thing is, their works do not get them to heaven, even if it is preaching, casting out devils, and many wonderful works. So he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus answers, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, that shows he said, I never knew you. He says, never. It's not that he used to know them, but I never knew you. See, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6 tells us.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.